asked two young ladies to come and tell us about Bible College and give us their testimony and some of the things that God's taught them along the way. And I just wanted to encourage the young ladies about Bible College and what it can do in your life and how it can change your life for the good in a great way. So I'm going to ask Lauren to come. Lauren, you're first, all right? One of those blessings of being the preacher's kid. You always got to go first, all right? So you can go first, and then Samantha, you can come after her, all right?
It's been a blessing to finish up 3.5 years of Bible College, almost done. Just finished student teaching this semester. There were too many music student teachers to teach at the high school, so I had to teach at the college, so that was a lot of fun. But I also get to work on campus as dorm staff and teach piano, so that's really great that I don't have to work at McDonald's or anything like that. But a lot of other colleges or universities, for weekends for them is a time where they can rest or they can party. You know, they drink, they do whatever they want. But really, at Bible College, weekends is crunch time. It's time to go out into Chicago or anywhere nearby, go out and soul win. Spend 3 or 4 hours just soul winning and inviting people to church and visiting bus kids. And it's really great. You get a lot of teaching in the classroom, but the main time when you do the learning is whenever you're putting what you've learned into practice and actually involved in the ministry. So one of the lessons that I've learned a lot in being in Bible College is they tell you over and over again, serve God now or you're not going to serve him later. If you don't decide to do it now, then it's not going to suddenly change whenever you go out into a bigger ministry. And another blessing for Bible College is this semester I got what I went to Bible College for, but no, I'm just kidding. That's not the entire reason, but but no, it's really great to go to a Bible college and be around people who are like-minded and have the same goal and keep the main thing the main thing.
I just want to take a moment to just say thank you to my church family for their prayers and their support and the texts and cards of encouragement while being away. I also want to take a moment to praise the Lord for providing and taking care of me, just for the strength and comfort that he gives, you know, being away from family and, you know, friends and things like that. You know, the Lord, one of the things that I've watched this semester was that the Lord just provided me with the core group of friends that I needed, and the core group of counselors and things that I needed, and that's a huge blessing. I wanted to share a few of the highlights of my semester so far, and one of those has been the serving the Lord in the bus ministry there at Trinity. As Lauren mentioned, the weekend for a Bible College student is not a relaxing time. You're totally super, super busy. And one of the joys this semester has been just to pour my heart into the bus ministry and watch the Lord really grow our bus route. And that has just been a huge blessing to me, and being able to serve the Lord that way and into the new opportunities to invest in some of the kids there, and that's just been a blessing. One of the other highlights, my favorite day of school is Friday, not just because it's the last day of the week, but because it's the time that the Academy students get to come over and we get to have Friday chapel, and we get to all sing together, and that's just one of the highlights there, but also Pastor Laster gets to come over and preach. And this semester, I feel like every time he's preached, it's always been something that I've needed, something I can immediately apply in what I'm going through. So that's been a huge blessing. Again, just thank you so much for investing in through your prayers and your support, and I appreciate it.
Amen. Thank you. These are fine young ladies. Trust the Lord will bless them. And all husband applications have to go through the church first, amen, in the future. And so just so you know that, amen, we haven't officially voted on you yet. So even though you got a ring, that doesn't mean anything, okay? So just so I let you know. But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for them. I've asked JR and Matthew also. They're going to preach for us tonight. And just give us something from the Bible tonight. Give us something on their hearts. You know, if God's called you to be a painter, you got to paint, right? If God called you to be a plumber, you got to plumb. If God's called you to be a preacher, you got to preach. Amen? And so we want young men called to preach. And even if they may not be called to preach at some point in their time, they're going to be teaching a Sunday school class or filling in for a church or assistant pastor, whatever God calls them to do, they're going to be preaching. So we want to give them an opportunity. And I know when they preach here, it's a blessing to our hearts, speak to our hearts. So, Matthew, again, you're the pastor's kid, so you get to go first tonight, all right? So let's give our heart and our attention, because it's not just these young men, but it's God's word they're preaching tonight.
Okay. It's always good to be home. I love my home church, and glad to be here. If y'all could turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. My dad said I could take some extra time tonight, but I think Lauren was so long-winded that she took up all that time, so. She's long-winded like her, never mind. No. It's crazy how many things come to your mind when you're standing in the pulpit. Now I know why my dad gets so ornery sometimes, but even when he's not on the pulpit, he's like that, so. Philippians 3, let's just read our verse and then I'll get into it. Philippians 3, let's start in verse 12, and we'll be reading through verses 14. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count on myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here. Lord, thank you that I can preach. I pray that you'd help everybody, Lord, not to hear from me, Lord, but to hear from you. And I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit, Lord, fill Jared with your spirit. He's going to preach and use us, Lord. I pray that you strengthen us, give us the words to say, and the words not to say. We love you, Lord. Thank you for everyone who's here. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen. I do want to kind of be, this is my, I want to really encourage my church family tonight, because Moore Baptist Church is my home church, and this church has given me so much to encourage me. And it's not so much me encouraging you, but the Lord encouraging you and the Bible encouraging you. And but the Bible does teach us that we're to exhort one another, and we're to, with psalms and hymns, the Bible says, and just with how we talk to each other, how our pastor, when he preaches, it exhorts us, it lifts us up. And that's kind of what church is about. Whenever people get out of church, they often get discouraged, and that's a vulnerable time, because this is a place where you can be encouraged. And getting discouraged, and sometimes at Bible college, people warn me about getting discouraged. And I find that I've gotten discouraged several times. And Autumn got me a plaque with my life verse on it, which just so happens to be Philippians 3:13 and 14. Or life verses, but she got a plaque for me. And every morning I can wake up and I see, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that encourages me. And another thing that encourages me is I have a stack of cards from the church and I keep it in a bag. And whenever I get discouraged, I can take out that bag and I can read a letter from the Watsons. I can read some letters from the Gonzos, or from my parents, or someone who sent me an encouraging text whenever I needed it. And that helps me out so much, to encourage me, to help me. And it helps me to press on. And that's kind of what I want to preach on, is press on or pass out. And Philippians 3:13 and 14 helps me to do that. And these verses are some of my favorite verses. It helps to encourage me to keep pressing on. And this is what I want to do for you, and what I believe the Lord wants to do for you, to encourage you. And I'm sure all of us could think of a time when we've thought of passing out instead of pressing on. We've thought of stopping what we're doing instead of keep going. I haven't been through as much stuff as y'all have. Some of the Garretts, they've been around for a long time. And I'm sure there's times in their lives when they were raising their kids, or when they were going through church problems, or they decided that they were going to keep pressing on and not pass out. Amen. And that's exactly what I want to do. I want to keep pressing on and not pass out. And what the person who wrote this, Paul, Paul wrote about how he was shipwrecked. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was stoned. But Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize. Paul said, I'm not going to pass out. I'm going to press on. And that's exactly what we need to do. But before we get to that, I want us to look at several verses, and starting in verse 12. I just want to say, press on because Christ has apprehended you. In verse 12, Paul knew what he was before. Paul knew that before he was, in Acts 9, it describes Paul as breathing in threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Paul would kill Christians before. Paul would be Christians. He was a Pharisee. He was a sinner. He was not saved. And Paul remembered what he was before, what he was before. But Paul said in verses 12, Paul said, I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And because I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus, I want to keep pressing forward. And don't get discouraged tonight, because sometimes we can often forget the most important thing that the Lord has done for us, and that is given us salvation. And just because of that simple reason, I want to keep pressing forward, because I don't have to go to hell anymore. I have forgiveness of my sins. I can press forward because Christ has apprehended me. Paul, a Pharisee, had been apprehended by Christ on the road to Damascus. And if there's one good reason for us to press on, it would be that Christ has apprehended me. And Christ has apprehended me, but not everybody will be apprehended, sadly. Agrippa wasn't, who Paul had witnessed to, King Agrippa. He said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But don't get discouraged, because everyone won't be apprehended. I'm sure Lauren and Titus could tell you, and many of those who go soul winning in here could tell you, everyone I talk to is not apprehended by Christ. Not everyone will be apprehended by Christ. But don't quit. Keep pressing on. Don't pass out. Keep soul winning. Keep passing out that track. Keep opening up your Bible to someone at the door and knock on their door and say, hey, Christ loves you and I want to tell you about him. I'm not gonna pass out. I'm going to press on. Not everyone will be apprehended by Christ, but don't pass out. Don't quit trying to be a witness for Christ. I was out soul winning. We were in a wealthy neighborhood in Greenville. And that's not to say that rich people don't need the Lord, because rich people do need the Lord. It might be harder to witness to rich people because they think they might have more and their mind is set. And they say, I have all I need. But in reality, down in their heart, they don't have all they need. They need Christ. And we were in a richer neighborhood, and we had got down to we were knocking on doors, and there's probably about 10 of us on this one street, and large houses, million-dollar houses probably. And we got to the end of the street, and there's a lady walking down the street, and I kind of said, oh, she kind of looks like a Karen. Just, if y'all know what a Karen is, I don't know, but she looked like one, and you can tell one, but she looked like one, and she certainly was one. A nasty lady. And she came up and she said, what are y'all doing? I said, well, we're out just telling the people about the Lord. She said, well, you are harassing everybody. You are harassing us. You are knocking on doors. This man here is a Jewish man at this house, and he's not going to change what he believes. And a nasty, really nasty lady. And it gets discouraging when someone like that can come up to you and say, what you're doing is no good. What you're doing is not helping the cause of Christ. Even though you haven't seen someone saved, it's not helping. We're not going to change. But that's not my job. My job isn't to change, and that's what the Lord's job is. He changes them, and the Lord will convict, and the Lord will go to them, and he will change them. Nasty people can upset us, and nasty people can, I don't know, maybe that's a crude word, but they are nasty. There are nasty people out there who won't change, but not everybody will be changed, and it's only my job to tell them about Christ. That's all I can do. Don't get discouraged. And something that encourages me is whenever I come back to my church and I come soul winning here, I see people here who come Saturday in, Saturday out, and it is an encouragement. Yeah. And whenever us as a church are soul winning, it helps us and it encourages us because I see new people at my church. When I came home, I didn't know several people that were here on Sundays. And it may be just be Sunday mornings, but those people are they're growing and they are coming to church. And I think our church is doing a lot to do that. These Bibles out here, Brother Joe, I hear stories about Brother Joe reaching souls for Christ. And that's a blessing to hear, and that encourages us. And don't pass out if you're not reaching people for Christ. Press on. Realize that I have not arrived. I have not arrived in my Christian life where I need to be. In verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Oftentimes I can kind of say, Paul sees here his success. He saw that he was still on the road to reaching his full potential. And you would think that Paul would have thought he was something. Paul was something. Paul had his life completely changed around in these churches that he was writing letters to, and a great missionary, and serving the Lord. And you think that he might have said, "I am something," but really we are nothing. John 15:5, Jesus says, "For without me, ye can do nothing." We can do nothing without Christ, and that goes back almost to being to witnessing. I cannot soul win without Christ, and I cannot reach to where I need to be without Christ. So realize that I have not reached where I need to be yet. Keep pressing towards where you need to be. Philippians 4:13, though, says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." In my own strength, I sometimes think I have arrived to where I need to be, but when I humble myself, Christ shows me where I really need to be. Press on through your problems. Paul might have remembered what he used to do, his past. He might have had dreams at night of him killing Christians or beating them or stoning them, and he might have thought of that and said, "Well, these problems are too big. I don't know. I'm just gonna pass out." But Paul pressed on and thanked the Lord that He cleansed me and He sends my sins far away to where He'd remember them no more in the sea of forgetfulfulness. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Praise the Lord that I can press on through my problems, and I've got a lot of them. And Paul talked about his thorn in the flesh, and I don't know if he was talking maybe about a physical ailment, but I think all of us have a sin that kind of besets us. The Bible says the sin that does so easily beset us. It doesn't say what sin, it just says the sin. And I have sins like that in my life that beset me, and I can think about that, and I say, "Lord, I'm not where I need to be. I'm just going to stop." No, press on, go through those problems, keep going, don't stop. Reach for the goal in verse 13. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth on those things which are before. This goal, Paul is reaching for something, and this means that I keep moving forward, and I cannot reach that which is before me if I'm focused on what is behind me. Luke 9:62, "And Jesus saith unto them, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." And I believe I need to set goals as a Christian. And if I aim for nothing, I'm going to hit it every single time. If what I aim for, if I'm going to aim for nothing, I'm going to hit it, because I'm not aiming for anything. And I want to aim to become a better Christian, to go soul winning more, to press on. I have these goals, so I'm going to press on. And if I aim for nothing, I'm going to hit it. So aim for something, and I think we need to set our goals high. That way, we really press towards those goals. We really go towards it. Because if I set something kind of mediocre, what is that? Even if I don't hit that goal that I'm really shooting for, that seems impossible, I can, even if I'm shooting for that goal that seems impossible, I can get close to it. Or sometimes, we just talked about it, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. I can reach that goal. So aim for something big. Keep going, reach those goals, press on. God wants us to have a singleness of heart as well. and to look forward to see what More Baptist Church can do for Christ. And don't look back, church. Some might make the excuse, More Baptist Church has had people leave. Our offerings aren't as much. Our bus routes are not what they were before, or it doesn't feel like it used to. Which, by the way, I don't think is true, because I believe More Baptist Church is doing the most they can for Christ right now. And I think of whenever we first came here, there was, I think, 11 people that voted my parents in. There's a, that's no bus route. No, not to say that they weren't doing anything for Christ then, because they were. But to see how the church has grown and the church has set goals, and us as a church family can come together and we set goals and we press towards those goals. And we don't pass out. We go towards those goals. We keep going. And God doesn't base us on our feelings. He bases us on our faithfulness. Sometimes when I just feel bad. I feel like I don't want to get up in the morning and read my Bible. I feel like I don't want to go to church. Even though as a pastor's kid, that really wasn't an option. Praise the Lord for that, though. I'm thankful for that. Because it set a future for me to be faithful in church. And now that's my responsibility. And we don't feel like doing what we need to do, but and sometimes I feel like I'm not getting anything out of the word, or I'm not getting anything out of the preaching. But press on. Keep going. You're, get out of that slump. Climb up the valley and get to the top of the mountain. Press on. Don't get discouraged, church, because you're doing a good job. More Baptist Church is doing a good job. I thank the Lord for this church. This is a great church. And lastly, I just want to say, press on to hear Christ say, well done. Verse 14, he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul does not reach that prize, or we will not reach that prize, until we cross that finish line. And a runner cannot... If he's running a race and he stops just right before that finish line, he didn't finish the race yet, even though he's close. And Dr. Bob Smith said he knows people who started out well and people who were there doing well, but they didn't finish well. And he said he doesn't want to be known as a person who didn't finish well. I want to be known as a person who crossed the finish line, pressing on. Even if I have to crawl on my hands and my knees, I'm going to press on. Even if I'm down in a valley or up on a mountaintop, I'm still going to press on. Sometimes we can say, I see people falling, but press on. I see others sinning, but press on. I don't know if I'll be able to get to missions this month, but press on. I haven't seen anyone saved in a while, but press on. I feel like I'm falling, but press on. My Sunday school class has been hard recently. Press on, especially if you got those little ones. I think we all know who we're talking about in the building today. But press on, and that goes for the mothers too. Your children don't feel like, you feel like you may not be getting anything done at home. Well, keep pressing on. The day will be over. Nap time will be there before you know it. I'm not getting anything out of my Bible. Press on. My family situation is troubling. Press on. No one seems to be there for me, but press on. Psalms 30, verse 5 says, weeping may endure the night, but joy will come at dawn. I just want to encourage my church, and I love everybody here, and I just want to say, press on. You're doing a good job.
All right, Luke chapter 8, if you don't mind. Never want to stand up here without just taking the opportunity to thank my pastor just for letting me preach the word. It's a privilege and an honor. I definitely don't want to take that lightly. Luke chapter 8, we'll start in verse number 26. Pretty common story, well-known story, apparently a pretty important story because it's one of the few that's mentioned in three out of the four Gospels. It's the maniac of Gadara. And I'll begin reading in Luke chapter 8, verse 26. The Bible says, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. And then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Let me pray real quick, and then we'll get into the message. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to come to your house and worship you, God. We ask you to please fill me with your spirit and give me the words to speak, Lord, and fill your people in the congregation with your spirit. Give them the ears and hearts to listen, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that there's two types of Christians. If you're saved, I think that you fall in one of these two categories. You're either pressing on, like Brother Matthew just talked about, or you're falling back. You know, there's really not a plateauing Christian. I think you're either backslidden or you're pressing forward. And I believe it was Jack Hiles that may have been Lester Roloff that defined backsliding as anything less than what you have been at any given time in your Christian life. You may be better than you were at one point, but if you're worse than you were at one point, that's backsliding. And so you fall into one of these two categories. Either you're moving forward or you've moved back a little bit. And it being around the first of the year, what do we hear a lot? You know, new year, new me, right? We hear that. We hear New Year's resolutions. And all these people, well-meaning people, you know, they wait until the first of the year to do things that they thought about 3 months ago. And they think that there's, you know, something special about waiting to this time of year. But we do start seeing people, right? People come to church that, oh, haven't seen you in a couple months. And this is a big time for the devil to work too, right? Because, you know, he's going to fight because there's an opportunity for good to happen. So we know that Satan is the father of lies. And I'm going to just point out some lies that he's going to start telling you this time of year, and really any time of year when we start seeing some of these backslidden Christians come back to church. And this is the Wednesday night crowd, right? You know, I don't know everyone's heart in this room, but I believe that most of y'all are the people who are, you know, pressing forward. Y'all are the Wednesday night crowd. Y'all are probably here on Saturdays. You know, y'all are the people who, the core group. So I'm going to talk to you first, you know, just the lies that the devil's going to tell you when you start seeing people come back to church. First lie, pretty simple one, and it's kind of real sneaky. You know, you don't really hear it and think, you know, it's more of a subconscious thing. It's not a thought you're going to think in these exact words, but he's going to tell you that Jesus loves them more, the people that are coming back, more than he loves you, or that they don't deserve another chance, or that why are they getting the love and attention when I'm here, you know, every you know, 3 days a week or three times a week, and why are they getting the love and attention? Why'd they get another chance? If that sounds familiar to you, it's probably because it's in Luke 15. If you'll turn over there, the Bible says in verse 25, I'll begin reading, it says, Now his elder son, this is the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son obviously takes his inheritance early, goes, wastes all his money, comes back home because he realizes that's where he's actually loved and where he can be provided for. He's come home. His father's prepared a feast. They're celebrating. And the Bible says, Now his elder son, this prodigal's elder brother, was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him, And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. See, we get into this mindset of, why are they coming back, and why is everyone making sure to shake their hand? And the pastor went up and talked to them for 15 minutes, but he just shook my hand and walked past me. And that's the devil. Jesus is not going to tell you, oh, why did the pastor talk to him for that? That's not the Holy Spirit. That's the devil. We get the prodigal brother had apparently a lot of problems, but the problem that we think he had is, oh, he was jealous, or you know, whatever. He thought that he was better than his brother. But the real problem he had was that he thought he deserved something. He thought he deserved a kid that he could make merry with his friends. Did he deserve the kid that he could make merry with his friends? No, he didn't. Did the prodigal that came back, did he deserve a fatted calf? No. We have another parable that, hey, you agreed to work with me for this, and I gave you that, and he worked less than you, but I can give him whatever I want. It's my money. God says, the pastor, the time that he gives, the whoever I decide to give another chance to, that's absolutely none of your business. You weren't promised a first chance. You didn't deserve a first chance. So what is it to you if I give him another chance? Second lie. You're gonna be told by the devil, oh, it's fake. It's happened before. Romans 14, verse 4 says, Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? For to his own master he standeth or falleth. In the context of that passage, it's talking about stronger Christians and weaker Christians, and you know, things not being a stumbling block to weaker Christians, basically. And that's absolutely none of your business if it's fake or if it's not. What your job is to be a stronger Christian, not be a stumbling block to them. And you can do that by not listening to these lies of the devil. If you go to Mark chapter 5, the parallel passage in Luke 8, it's also talking about the maniac of Gadara. It talks about how they... it says, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Another thing that we need to be careful about is trying to help God out. God's given them another chance. God's gotten them back in church. We don't need our solutions. Sure, give advice. Sure, give counsel as the Lord leads, but all these chains and fetters and things that we as humans think we can do to fix the symptoms that we see aren't going to fix the root problem. So those are just the few lies that you're going to be told by Satan. And then I don't know who's listening online, who's here today, but some lies for the backslidden Christian that's coming back, or that maybe considering coming back but isn't sure. You're going to be told by Satan, you're going to be told no one cares. And we see that a lot. I mean, it's Christmas time, right? In kind of this late December, why do you think suicide rates are so high this time of year? It's because people look back on last year's New Year's resolutions. And they look back and they say, well, I'm exactly where I was last year. What's the point? Am I actually going to be able to better myself? Does anyone even care if I better myself? And so it's our job as church members to care. But even if we don't, whoever's listening that may be thinking that no one cares, Jesus cares. Even if no human cares about you, even if you don't have any friends, any family, Jesus cares. You're going to be told as a backslider coming back, it's going to hurt too much to change. You see in all three passages in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where the maniac of Gadara is mentioned, you see them say, Jesus, torment me not. Have you come to torment me before the time? I adjure thee by God, torment me not. Don't do this to me. Don't make this change in my life. It's going to hurt. And this is another part that's not helped by Pharisaical Christians. Just throw that out there. But that's a lie from the devil as well, because Jesus makes things better. Matthew 11 says, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke's easy, my burden's light. You ask Peter, hey, was it worth it? You ended up being crucified upside down. Jesus made it worse. That hurt a lot, didn't it? But You look at where Peter was. Peter was a fisherman. He was ignorant and unlearned, we know from Acts. He was perceived that way because fishermen weren't learned people. But he was also one of the leaders in a movement that's lasted 2,000 years. God did that in him. God, Jesus makes things better. Ask Paul. Paul, you were shipwrecked. You were a night in the deep and all these things. You were whipped this many times and stoned and left for dead. But he penned most of the New Testament. His words have been, that God gave him, have been immortalized. God made things better. Timothy, oh, well, you had, you know, rough time on your missionary journeys, but think about where God took him from. He was just a mixed kid, you know, mixed racially, which was really frowned upon back then. And he didn't have much of, he was probably shunned by many of the Jewish people. But he's, you know, given his, he didn't write scripture, but he has scripture written to him, and he was a leader in a church. Jesus makes things better. So don't let the devil tell you that it's going to hurt too much to change. And then the last one, and I'll be done, is just the I can't do fill in the blank. You know, Jesus doesn't just want you, if you're a backslider, come back to church. He just doesn't want you to come back to church. He wants you to get all the way in. Amen. Get all the way back plugged into church. Yeah. And if you go back to Luke chapter 8, you see that Luke chapter 8, the maniac of Gadara came back to Jesus. He said, now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. Just a side note, he didn't go to anyone else for affirmation. He went back to Jesus. You're going to feel like everyone's judging you. But what if they do? You're responsible. You're accountable to God. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Now the man, he returned to Jesus. But Jesus sent him away saying, verse 39, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass, this is a verse that like a lot of times gets looked over in this passage. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. See, Jesus took this man, and the man probably had some misgivings, or I can't do that, I'm not qualified, I have screwed up my life, I can't do this. But there's people that you can reach. And God has someone for every person that you can reach, and I probably can't reach that person, and the pastor may not be able to reach that person because of your experiences and their experiences and how God's lined up all these things so you can relate to that person and you can connect with them. And you can reach them. You know, I think of this man's family. He had a house, apparently, according to verse 39. Their opinion about Christ is going to be affected so much more by just seeing that changed life than it would be by 1,000 disciples coming by and telling them about everything Jesus did. So don't think I can't do fill in the blank. Whatever it is God's asking you to do, after you get back in, you can do it. And God's prepared that for you. And if God has told you to do that, you can do that. And there may not be someone else who can do it. So I'd plead with you to do whatever Christ is laying on your heart. So that's just some lies that we're going to start hearing. We start seeing people that are coming back to church, haven't been in a while. Just be careful for that. You know, and the Bible says, try the spirits. You're going to feel things in your spirit, you know. Make sure it's of God. These are definitely not of God. But please don't listen to these lies of the devil.
Amen. Good messages. Let's bow our heads tonight. Let's close our eyes. God give you something tonight out of one of these messages. God give you something tonight. Amen. Maybe God spoke to you about something tonight. You know, you ought to go to God with it right where you're at tonight and say, God, that spoke to my heart and I want your help. I want to be what you want me to be. I'm going to press on. Maybe you've been discouraged or defeated about a few things going on in your life, but maybe you just need to say, God, I'm going to press on no matter what. I'm just going to keep going forward for you and serving you. That's a great key in life, is to just keep taking a step forward. Just keep on going. Maybe God spoke to you about something else tonight. Maybe you're a young person here tonight. God spoke to you. Do you have an open heart? Do you have an open heart to God? If God spoke to you, and would the truth land on your heart tonight? Would you allow it to land on your heart? God will bless you if you do. You'll be glad you did. You'll be glad you did tonight. Let's have the invitation tonight. Let's stand together with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. I'm going to ask this.